So we're talking with Michael Horn, who is the U.S. representative for Billy Meier. And we've kind of covered the ground, I think, that brings us right up to the predictions that have been made, that have been published, that are in print. And on top of that, every sentence is numbered so that there's a measured starting point for determining whether or not these predictions have come true. And that's just where we'll go, because there have been some new developments, and we'll see how well these predictions, some of which are decades old, but have been in print for a long time, have been fulfilled. And we'll talk about it next with Michael Horn on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. It's Coast to Coast AM, and we're talking with Michael Horn. And many people already know that Billy Meier has made predictions, and that they were, you know, signed, dated, stamped, numbered. So to make them, you know, the type of thing, a kind of corpus that one can go back to and really not have to do a lot of reading into, because they're not vague predictions by and large. Right, Michael?
I would say they're not vague predictions, unlike things like Nostradamus,
right?
They tend to be cryptic. A lot of this is simply spelled right out.
Well, not to mention Nostradamus is cryptic and in Middle French, which makes it even harder to. Here, we got modern language and you got specifics, so
yeah,
we can go from here. And if you had to give a top five of the predictions that Billy Meier says he got from the Plagiarans, what would they be?
That's kind of hard, because things rotate in terms of significance, right? I mean, for instance, we have now, this past week or week and a half, you've seen all this rioting in France, and we have some very specific information from Meier that he published quite some time ago that pertains to this. Now, fortunately...
Would you put that in the top five, though? I mean, I think that's cool, but...
Yeah.
I think there have been some others, haven't there, that have been
sure.
Very specific predictions.
Well, I can give you 10 right off the top.
Okay, let's do that.
Because these were in the possession of Lieutenant Colonel Wendell Stevens prior to these things being fulfilled, all except one. Here are about 10 of them. The Jonestown Massacre, the overthrow of the Shah of Iran, the Chinese invasion of North Vietnam, the Iran hostage crisis, the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, the terrorist attack on the Iranian embassy in London, the abdication of Queen Juliana of the Netherlands, the death of Tito of Yugoslavia, Mount St. Helens eruption, and the assassination of Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. All of these were in a document that has got some other stuff in it that's mind-boggling, but I'll just lay those out to start with.
Okay, what were the predictions? Give us the actual, if you have them handy, on what was actually said about it. Because, I mean, the fact that, you know, that Tito would die, that's
sure.
Kind of an inevitability.
I will have to look that up, because I've got some documents here, and I have to open up stuff, and I'll
okay.
Do it.
Okay, we can do it maybe after the break at the bottom of the hour.
Sure. I mean, a lot of these are in a whole document, but let me... jump into this document for one other thing that's very important. In this same contact that Meier had, which is known as the 115th contact, October 19th, 1978, he claims to be in a ship with this woman, Semyaze, and he's describing Jupiter, the ring system around it. He's describing the terrain on Europa, one of the moons, and one other moon. And this is where we get into the mind-boggling aspect of this case. He describes, the moon Io, and he's saying, oh, yes, I remember you told me before, he's referring to a previous time, that this is the most volcanically active body in the solar system. And he goes on to describe that the ejecta from the volcanoes in Io are composed of dust particles and sulfur ions, and they're contributing to, at that point, he says, the rings around Jupiter, and he speaks of the speeds of the matter. He describes the terrain on Io, and he says it's unusually smooth and not cratered, because so much of the matter from the volcano that isn't taken up into the rings or perhaps the torus falls back onto the surface of this body. Now, that was on October 19th, 1978. On March 9th of 1979, Wendell Stevens had this entire document in his possession that included the 10 predictions I just, you know, told you about before, and all of this information about Jupiter. It was not until 3 days after that, on March 12th, 1979, that the announcement was made at NASA, or JPL, that Io had just been determined to be the most volcanically active body in the solar system, and they concluded that from the Voyager 1 probe of March 5th, 1979. This is a five-month difference that Meyer is ahead of them on. Even the Cornell University, the chairman of the astronomy department, Dr. Joseph Viverka, had to admit that if Meyer said that then, 3 to 6 months before, then all he could say was the man was right, and he didn't know why or how. Now, all of this is on the DVD if we're going, you know, kind of right. Fast on stuff.
No, but, the DVD, I thought you laid it out really well, by the way.
Thank you. I hope so, because... See, the DVD also contains the information, the warnings about the Paris riots.
And, oh, I get that. I think it's very interesting, and I like the way you, and you'll have that handy, right? The Paris warnings. You have the actual prediction right there with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, somewhere here. I've got stuff in front of me, and I'll be able to just bring it up, and okay. You know, we'll read it off, and I can do that, as a matter of fact, in just a moment. I just wanted to really let people know, with this information on Jupiter, this is of monumental importance, because... Here is a man, a quote-unquote Swiss farmer in 1978, announcing 5 months before it's discovered that the most volcanically active body in the solar system is a moon of Jupiter's that we have not yet seen.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And he saw it, did he? Or he was just told about it by the Plejarians?
He claims that he was brought up close and personal, as he was to Venus, where he likewise published similar information about Venus that turned out a year in advance to be correct before the probe, either from the U.S. or the Russians, got there. He published information on Saturn and its moons that turned out to be correct before we discovered it. He predicted long ago, quite long ago, the two planets beyond Pluto before we, you know, found it. This is the kind of stuff where people who are trying to, you know, stick their fingers in the case and say it's a hoax, there's too many holes in their dike. They don't have enough fingers and toes to stop the flood of verifiable information. Now, we've talked about this French thing, and it is indeed available on the website for people. But if you're not on the computer, let me read it to you, and let me tell you, this was from November 23rd, 1981. Now, I have to tell you, I first read this in 1986 when a friend of mine had the physical book in which this was printed, known as the Prophetian. It was printed first in 1982 and then again in 1996. Now, I'm standing reading stuff, and there's a lot more with this one contact, but I've just done this excerpt here. And they're talking about Europe being attacked and the U.S. not being able to go and defend it because of attacks on the homeland, 1981. Now, here's the clip that pertains to Italy and France. And again, we haven't seen all of this and hopefully don't see it go to this extreme, but here's what it says. And they also mention Italy and France will be shaken due to revolutionaries who murderously and by arson destroy every order. Paris will be destroyed from within and burnt down. The inhabitants themselves are those who lay Paris into rubble and ashes via murder, arson, and revolution, while Italy also falls due to massacres. Now, people, please, you're right. That all hasn't happened yet, and maybe we can, in our consciousness, by putting this out, help to stave off that ultimate thing. But pay attention. Here's the next part of it from 1987, February 28th, 1987. Again, you can read this on the website. France will, and this is talking about now a future event from the outside, France will not only be invaded by the aggressors from the outside, but will also be conquered from within as a result of collaborative forces and other forces. This can be envisioned as being the many foreigners of a different religion living in France at that time, and specifically Islam, which will be this force working from within, 1987. Now, just for those people that are going to scratch their heads about this, just so you know, my DVD, I was working on putting it together in 2003. It came out in February 2004. It has this information already on it. So if that's enough of an advance warning, know that the stuff was first printed back in 81 and 87. And there it is, and it's staring us in the face. And that's just part of it.
Well, and so this is that crucial part where we say, okay, let's look that in the eye and say, that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, he made a prediction, specifically mentioned Islam, France being torn apart, and we can see, even from a distance, you know, some of these fires and some of these nights, 17 nights of raging, and no sign that it's going to stop anytime soon. But then it will it really lead to the downfall right. of the French government?
So here's where I say, hey, wait a minute. We're getting this information for a reason, and you and Coast to Coast are allowing this information to be put forward to all the people around the world for a reason.
Right.
It's not so we sit here and order popcorn, you know, and watch the movie go down and say, hey, you got it right. Too bad.
Right.
It's so we wake up and we realize, wait a minute, we are being given that quote-unquote help from above that we all say we want. But what they're saying is, we're going to show you the outcome of your causal thoughts and actions, and unless you wake up and start changing your thinking and changing your actions, this is where it goes. This is what comes about. Now that you see this developing, and we can now reach millions of people on your show, if we take the responsibility, each of us that are hearing this, whether we like it or not, whether we think Meyer is the devil or, you know, I'm representing an anti-American or anti-this thing, folks, this is staring us in the face. How do we change our thoughts towards the positive in a reasonable way, whereby we start to change the course of events? Now, they've been very specific about this. If you go onto the site, because we just have the site put up, a new site came up today, and my buddy that's doing it has maybe not put everything on. I don't know. I haven't checked everything. But Billy Meyer has documents on there. There's like four letters, and they are harsh and brutal. People think that this guy must really hate America to write this stuff. If they look around, they're going to see that he's had like these play are, and they've got something unpleasant to say about just about every group on the planet. They're equal opportunity offenders. But I've posted the stuff that seems most germane to these times and to us here in America, as well as the people who are listening around the world. And here's the point. They have said, and they've said it for about two decades at least, that unless the U.S. military policies are drastically altered, we are going to get a third world war, and the place that will get the big kicking and the big licking is right here at home. Now, not tomorrow, and maybe not in 2 years or so. Who knows? I don't know. But they've laid it out in spades, and they've described what will happen and how it will come about if we do not stop this aggression and attempt to police the world and inflict our will everywhere. Let me stop there.
Okay, let's not stop there just for a second, just to back up. Again, because we're kind of going from one to another quickly.
Sure.
In France, how is it that we are, just by putting it out there and having this conversation, how is it that we're adjusting anything in France by talking about it?
Well, see, the most powerful force on the planet, let's say, according to this information, second only to the human spirit, this part of us that we don't factually know yet exists, the most powerful thing on the planet is thought. When we structure our thoughts, when we monitor our thoughts, when we are conscious of our thoughts, and
right.
when we choose what we will think and what we will put out into the world, energy follows thought, a law of physics. It goes from reaching for a fork to eat your breakfast to any creation or invention or anything else. So while this may seem kind of vague and amorphous,
yeah.
what do we do with that? We're being directed in this information to now come into touch with some of the quote-unquote spiritual teachings in here that have to do with the human spirit, that have to do with what they call the creation, the great creational force of this entire universe, and our connection to it and how things work. So one of the first laws in this universe that we all will understand is right there. It's called cause and effect.
Right.
And if you look at, and I'm not a religious person, but we know from the New Testament, I'll paraphrase, as a person soweth, so shall they reap, and do unto others as you would have others do unto you. What that really is cause and effect. If you do not want a given thing to occur, certainly do not do it to somebody else. So when we look here, and this is a big quilt here, and you can direct me back to anything you want, but when you look at the history and you say, gee, I didn't know, but that for the past 60 years, our country, in our name anyhow, over 200 acts of unprovoked aggression were launched against other peoples. That means nobody had attacked us, and we attacked peoples in their countries. We destabilized their governments. We bombed them. We whatever. Well, the pendulum returns. And if we do not want the pendulum returning on us, as we already see it returning in many ways, we better stop sending it out and start to course correct. We come back to thinking.
Well, I'll go with you on this. I mean, I think that's fair to discuss. But how does that pertain to France in this sense? What did they do? I mean, if anything, it's the opposite true. France has been the one, you know, saying, no, don't go to Iraq.
Right.
No, don't do this or that. What's the pendulum swing for France?
Well, you're right. Well, the kind of ironic part, since all this stuff in recent time has been France being kind of don't interfere with Iraq and all this stuff. And I'm sitting here reading the prophecy and I'm saying, there's going to be something very bizarre that happens. These people that seemingly are opposing the U.S. actions and are trying to, create some peace and reason with the world of Islam, if these prophecies are right, they're going to get clobbered. Now, how does that make sense? Well, I'm not the biggest student of history. Let me tell you, I didn't come into this with a Ph.D. in history, but I seem to notice that France had exerted its presence in different parts of the world, Algiers, Africa, what have you. It colonized or it set up, its extended its empire out. That meant it dominated other people, and it enforced its will, and it had wars and what have you, to enforce its will and to prevail over other people. Well, while it didn't appear at the time that that was going to pose any threat to France, the laws of cause and effect in their own time and in their own way start to swing back and deliver the actual fruits of our labors.
Yeah, but let's look at that again. I mean, I'm a little maybe more of a student of history, and in this case,
sure.
I'm not a Francophile, but I mean, that part of the reason why they have such a high Muslim population in France is because they did pull back voluntarily from their imperialistic ways. And they pulled out of Algiers and they pulled out of these other countries.
Right.
But, and they said, look, and they opened up their doors and they allowed all these people to come in and immigrate. I mean, it seemed like they would be the archetype of, Mr. Doobie or, Monsieur Doobie in this case.
Sure, but there's a problem here. And the little I know, and please feel free to correct me, but apparently from what I've been reading, they did not set up any type of system to realistically help the people assimilate. And there may be also responsibility on the part of the people that have come in who were not wanting to assimilate. I don't know the full dynamic.
But that's where it goes back to we're all human. And
that's right.
It's like saying human beings are going to make mistakes, and then human beings will have to pay for those mistakes.
That's correct.
In these very draconian ways, where even if they're acting out of their best intentions, they won't get it perfectly right, and then the pendulum will swing back and they'll punish them.
Well,
that's kind of, I mean, I know you're not getting religious, but that's kind of a harsh God.
Here's another thing. In this case, they speak about certain principles for human societies that are pretty eternal and true throughout the universe. And, of course, we're making a leap here that there's all sorts of human societies throughout the universe going through various developments similar to ours. Well, what they're saying is when you also have people who immigrate into a country strictly for economic benefit as opposed to because of religious or political persecution, you start a process of deterioration, strife, conflict, war, famine, all sorts of things come with that. And it's what we're going to see in the U.S., what is being seen in other countries. Now, in this complex cause and effect and what's just and what's right, and it looks pretty bad coming this way, but aren't they entitled to do it kind of a scenario, we're in a big mix and we're in a big stew. Do the principles hold true? This would be an interesting thing. So if you have illegal immigration where people simply come into any given country to take advantage of the economic benefits, and they have not solved that.
You know what? I'm going to stop you here because we're coming up on a break, and that just sounds like a big thought. So I just want to hold on to that, okay?
Sure.
And we'll come back to it because I want to ask you, too, at what point do we get to say, you know, well, if you know this is going to happen and you can help, why aren't you getting off your skinny playaren butt and getting in there and helping us? And I want to ask you about that, because I think that's something we have to deal with coming up next. More about fulfilled predictions from Billy Meyer next on Coast to Coast AM. Whatever happened to Jigsaw? That's a great song with great one-hit wonder bands of all time. Somewhere, the band members are out there, maybe even listening right now to Coast to Coast. And every time that song pops on, they look at that and go, that's so cool. That's our song. Or at least I hope they feel good about it. And maybe that's a good transition, actually, into what's happening around the world. There's a lot of tension. There are many different scenarios that are playing themselves out as we speak. We have both Iraq taking its toddling steps toward self-government. We have terrorists who are moving between borders. Iraqi terrorists, in this case, it seems, in Jordan, blowing up those hotels, or at least that's the initial impression. These people that came in with their backpack bombs and whatever took out these hotels in Jordan, according to the Jordanian government, were Iraqi al-Qaeda crossing the border, because they want to get rid of the Jordanian government. Too friendly, they say, to the U.S. And you have France, and you have natural disasters and other things that are happening. How many of these things were written down as predictions by Billy Meyer, given this information by these space aliens, the what some people call Pleiadians or the Pleiarans? And we'll pick this up. Just what other things have been predicted that we can keep an eye out for? Good news and bad. Next, with Michael Horn on Coast to Coast AM. So, talking with Michael Horn about Billy Meyer. By the way, how is Billy Meyer doing?
Well, he seems to be hanging in there. He's had, you have a bunch of assassination attempts in your life. He's also had a head injury some years ago that was pretty severe when he fell. He's had his share of bumps, to put it mildly. And considering all things, I think he's doing remarkably well.
I don't want to be too cheeky, but why didn't the Pleiarans tell him about the head thing?
Well, they have any number of times either warned him or offered to assist him with certain things. He has declined some of their offers of help because he said, look, I'm just a person. I have to do this like everybody else. There have been a couple times, like when he fractured some ribs, where they said, look, sit here. We're going to heal that for you because you're no good to anybody if you can't move around and breathe. So if you don't mind, we'll just fix your ribs up and you can go go carry on and do what you have to do down there. So.
I don't understand that any better than I understood Darren with Samantha. You know, why are you always in this big deal about having to do it the human way? I mean,
well, because, you know, here's
get
the
over
thing.
It.
Because as soon as somebody starts having extra special, quote unquote, favors, I mean, it's enough that the guy gets to go on, you know, spaceships, you know.
Yeah.
So if he's going to, they had offered him early on a prosthetic arm that they said would be virtually indistinguishable from a real arm. And he said,
cool.
Yeah, they said, no, thanks. I don't want them coming after me to rip it off my body to figure out how it works.
No, you take the prosthetic arm and you go to the NFL. You go, you win the Heisman Trophy.
I don't understand. Yeah, it wasn't his first choice. Hey, you know, something during the break, something occurred to me. Could I put this out?
Please do.
We've talked about my DVD, and I'm very glad that you have. So let me just say this maybe a couple times before the show's over. If anybody orders my DVD by itself or with anything else, we'll send them a free CD in addition to that. Just all they have to do is put the word gift or something, or C2C, or your name, Ian, just so we know it came from the show, and we will send them a free thing with it just as a, you know.
What's the CD of?
I'm not going to tell anybody.
Ah, okay. But is it like you singing?
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Okay. Right.
You got it.
So
I have to admit it.
So we were just going up to that point, and I want to backtrack a little bit, and then I hope you take us right back to where we were before the break. But at some point on this, I mean, and I want to hear more about predictions of doom for the future that they've given it, but at some point, can we talk about the fact that why, if we are the such a problem, right? I mean, if it's the U.S. that's the big problem in the world.
One of them.
Okay, but again, if we're the big issue, mm-hmm. why not come to us? Why not, indeed, why limit the contactees to a guy in Switzerland who, you know, let's face it, in a lot of ways, this just sounds like a lot of typical anti-U.S. European posturing.
Sure.
You know, why not come to somebody in the United States? Why not go to Boutros Ghali? He seemed like a nice guy. What's wrong with Kofi Annan or something?
Well, I think he has some of his own problems. Perhaps he would. The last thing he might want to do is to start saying he's going to go meet with extraterrestrials.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
I mean, but
let me give you
somebody who's got a credibility here and say, look, here's some proof, you know, go to the government and here's something, you know, here's the rod that will change into a snake so that when you go to Pharaoh, you can say, I've been sent by the future.
Well, let's do it this way. The Swiss Military Air Safety Monitoring Unit announced that they had installed radar installations in the Zurich Highlands, and they had recorded 236 UFO radar sightings right above Myers Land in a 25-month period. That's another piece of anecdotal information here that happens to have been researched in the case, and that was researched by Michael Hesseman. These results were apparently given to MUFON, a Central East European branch, and to an opponent of the Meyer case as well, a guy named Luc Bergen. Now, I mention that because anybody that wants to find out if the case is real and true, the information is sitting there. Let me tell you, I go on my website at night, and I'll look at the statistics to see where hits are coming from. The last time I looked, I had something in the neighborhood of at least 70 hits from U.S. military and U.S. government websites or servers or whatever you want to call it. The government the powers that be know all about the Meyer case. As Meyer said, and it was published in a newsletter of theirs a month or two ago, we know that we're under radar and, you know, eavesdropping surveillance. Why don't the folks just come down and knock on the door? We're not hiding anything. We're not a political outfit. We'll answer questions for you. It's kind of this simple in a way, but the gearing of the political and the intelligence worlds and the powers that be in the struggles, basically most of these parties probably want to make sure that Meyer and or his associates are not going to directly interfere in their plans, whatever they may be. And they can get off of the Swiss website or by eavesdropping on the folks over there or from whatever I publish. I mean, I'm not, you know, inventing the wheel here. They can find out what virtually anything they want to find out about the case. Anybody that wants to know with certainty whether or not the case is real can do that, and they can spend a couple hours, and they'll probably find out to their own satisfaction.
Why aren't you on the ship?
Because what for? It's like sit in your bedroom. We think that let's fly through space. Well, if these craft really exist, there's no sensation. I mean, you're sitting in something that's got its own gravity. That'd be fascinating, maybe claustrophobic. I don't know. And what would it do? I'm going to come back and say, I was on a spaceship. Okay, next.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Well, how cool is that?
Well, it'd be way cool, but is it going to solve my personal problems? No.
Well, I mean, it's not going to make your teeth whiter. You're going to take away body odor or anything, but
no.
It would be the kind of thing that you would... It would eliminate the use of the word allegedly.
Wouldn't, because it would only be me reporting that experience. And in the beginning of our conversation, I said to you, many people claim abductions or contacts or anything else. They can't prove them. I probably wouldn't be able to truly prove it. And if I could, then so what? See, we've been given the essential stuff in this case. And what the essential thing is, don't worry about the ships they came in, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Find out what Columbus's motives were here. What is he trying to tell us? Well, here's the information. Well, okay, goodbye. We've taken off. We've left this information for you folks. Go ahead and take responsibility for your individual and collective lives. Stop turning it over to your your politicians, your religious leaders, your government, your military, and every bozo that's out there with his hand out for you and in your pocket, and start living a responsible life. Does anybody have a faintest idea of what that means, or are we so distracted, needing so much entertainment and so many more political nonsensical things that we don't have a clue? Well, these folks have left us with our puzzle. We have the pieces. Do we know what the picture is? That may be the big question.
Okay. Well, in all of these conversations that we've been having here, I forgot where we were at the bottom of the hour before we went into the break.
We were talking about some of the the negative prophecies and things. And I'm kind of glad in a way that we jumped from it because, look, I've got a laundry list of stuff here, and I'm happy to go over it.
Yes.
And we're going to do, I'll go to some of the stuff.
I want to hear it. I mean,
okay, I'll take you back to 1951. How about this?
Okay.
My ear goes to Father Zimmerman, our friend from the early part of the show.
Right.
And they, with his help, he produces 3,000 copies of a letter. This is 51, so he's not down at Kinko's. Right. I don't know how they're doing it. They send it out, 3,000 copies around the world, and in there, Meyer spells out information given to him by Svath. Among the things that he talks about are the consequences of overpopulation. This is a lot, you know, referring to future things that are coming. The problems that we're going to have that are basically greed run wild, climate changes and the ozone problem, tectonic plate damage from human activity, which they then later spell out further, meaning the extraction of petroleum and natural gas, the damming of waters, and the overbuilding of cities. He speaks also about cross-species pandemics. What are we concerned about right now in the news?
Avian flu, right.
Right. He says that prostitution will be advertised on a new medium of TV, and there will be coming computers as well where they will advertise this, that the destruction of marriage and the family unit will be endemic, child sex abuse and rampant drug addiction with deliberately negative popular music, the rise of murderous and suicidal cults, Nazism making a reemergence, as well as a resurgence of so-called conquered diseases. Governments will be in denial of the true lethal health dangers from some of these diseases, and that there will be worldwide weather anomalies, landslides, and enormous floods. July 5th, 1951, 3,000 copies, and nobody gave him the time of day on that one. Okay, well, it gets even more specific.
Okay, good, because I think those are good, those are interesting, but they're general in a sense, because I would imagine, television was already on the rise, and some other things were already happening in 51 with TV. And so
Computers?
No.
Don't think so, but let's jump to 1958.
Right, okay,
because
58.
We get more specific here,
much
so. And this is August 25th, 1958. Meyer cuts it down to 25 letters to the heads of 25 European governments. And I will actually go through each of these, just so you know, and we'll see how many were predictable. Some may have been. The dissolution of the Soviet Union and the reunification of East Germany and West Germany. Here's the one I'm just get to right away. There will be two U.S. Gulf wars, the first one under a President Bush, and the second one under one of his sons who ascends to power, that leads to an unbelievable disaster.
Okay, now wait. Again, this is in print in 1958.
That's correct, and they've got a faded copy back there in Switzerland. 25 copies were sent around.
All right, so, and is there an independent way? Because, I mean, that's just amazing to say President Bush and his son.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like there's so many things here where we can prove it. You've got things on the DVD that hadn't happened when it came out.
Right.
There's things in the first edition of the book, and Still They Fly. The first edition was called And Yet They Fly, and there were six predictions off the top of my head. The war in Iraq, the increase in Islamic fundamentalism to follow, the appearance of SARS, the spread of mad cow disease to other animals and humans, the renewed concerns about chemical weapons and warfare, and then a very specific one. Dig this. He says, there is the danger of an avoidable accident at the nuclear power plant near Lyon, France. If people are attentive, they will catch this one in time. Now, that was first published in 1995. It's in the first edition of the book, copyright published date, September 15th, 2001. And on August 12th, 2003, the nuclear power plant at Lyon, France, one of 436 on the planet, somebody there is attentive and catches a condition whereby they shut the plant down before they have an accident. How many more of these things do we need till we get the idea?
Okay, that's pretty good. I mean, all of those things are good, and they're all seemingly incredible. I mean, almost like you can't possibly believe them, but you got to love the fact that the book was published and then that thing happened with the nuclear plant. Now, what can we learn? What are some of the things that they're still saying are going to happen that have not yet materialized?
Well, that's when you can, let's say, if you go into the Contact 251, or if you go to the Enoch or Henoch prophecies that are on the website, and if we go to the Enoch prophecies, and I'll just, you know, make some general comments, we can always just zone in on it. What they're saying is, they said to Meyer, after the destruction of the World Trade Center by terrorism, this was from 87, the U.S. will go and launch a series of worldwide wars in its desire to be the world's policeman and under the guise of peaceful globalization. I'm paraphrasing here because I'm not looking at it. It will try to bring numerous countries under its control, and it will in the process bomb and destroy many cultures and blah, blah, blah. Now, they go on to say that ultimately a lot of folks out there in the world are going to get tired of that, and African, Asian, and some European states are going to rebel against this. I'm kind of cutting to the chase on a big one here. And they say that at a certain time, these other countries will turn against the U.S., and there is a likelihood that an extraterrestrial race that has remained secret up until now will throw its lot in with these other third world and European nations and come in against the West and fight against the West, meaning the U.S. and our allies, that they view as the, you know, the enemy in this globalization one world push or whatever the heck we're doing here.
Well, you know, let's stop for just 1 second and just ask you, in this case, because it sounds like you speak of it as though it's a prophecy fulfilled.
No, it's a prophecy not fulfilled yet.
Okay, well, in some cases, in the sense that what cultures have we destroyed?
Well,
we destroyed the Taliban. You know, I mean, I just don't know that we should feel all that bad about it. Or what is it that the Pleiarans
say
think is so good about the Taliban?
No, it's not about good. You know, they have said long ago, remember, in 81, they were talking about the dangers of Islamic fundamentalists and terrorism sweeping across. It's going to go across Europe and blah,
right.
blah. So
right.
this is, they're not cheering the Islam on.
So shouldn't we do something there?
There's a way to do it, and this is what they say. They said, look, and again, you can argue whether or not this is possible and we can't do it this way, but this is what they say. They say the only way that will work, because they have said simply in no uncertain terms, the war on terrorism will not succeed. First of all, you're trying to fight a tactic with a military strategy. It's not going to happen, folks. The way you win these things is, number one, you retreat to your own countries and strengthen your borders and your societies, and you create a genuine alliance of free nations and peoples in a what they call a combat peace troop force, meaning armed, they're not pacifists, armed soldiers operating under a true international law from which no nation is exempt and no power can veto it. And these forces drawn from all countries around the world, equally operating under an international law, go and they target a terrorism enclave or criminals, war criminals, what have you, and they go to apprehend them for the purpose first of trial. Now, that might sound idealistic, under a true international court. We're not necessarily talking about what we have now.
And I think that's lovely, but aren't we talking about the guys in the powder blue helmets already?
No.
I mean, if we're talking about
they're saying that
the
that
UN forces.
Not going to happen with the UN. They're
okay.
saying that this is also a failed thing. These are, you know, these things are right now part of the problem. They're saying here there are principles here that work, and you can argue against them, and you can have your political points of view, and you can be partisan. Sorry, folks, this is on your plate. The pendulum's swinging. This is the way you get out of it. It's even if you adopted it now, you'd have disagreements on how to do it, even if you agreed on it and all the rest of this, but that's part of the game. You're going to have to struggle to enact the principles and the structure that are based on principles, not on politics and advantage. That would be unacceptable to people that say we can sign out of Kyoto agreements and we can have
right.
torture and we can because we're exempt. They're saying, no, you're not exempt. Nobody's exempt. And until you folks get that you all live on the same little speck of cosmic lint and
right.
you're not important to the degree you are, you're not going to make it if you don't get it.
You're a terrific guest, and I really appreciate your candor in having this conversation, and thank you for giving me my space on it, because I'm having kind of a dichotomous reaction to this. Part of me thinks it's just really interesting that that Billy Meier has all these predictions. And part of me, I don't end up liking the Playarans because they end up sounding like, you know, intergalactic whiny Euro trash who's just sits around and tells everybody else how they should do it, but then doesn't roll up their sleeves and get involved.
They've gone through it. They destroyed whole systems in their history to get there.
All right. Well, then we'll open up the phones. We'll shoot out some numbers. We'll get other people involved in this conversation next with Michael Horn on Coast to Coast AM.